Today, are there signs of bank mortgage portfolio stress yet? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, that is Post, covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, given we now have mortgage rates 3% higher than the start of the year, analysts are asking whether there are yet signs of mortgage portfolio risks in the banking system. In fact, I've had more conversations in the last month, particularly from overseas observers, by the way, than I've had previously. We certainly know that household cash flows are under pressure. We can see that from our own mortgage stress analysis and also Roy Morgan's research on consumer confidence and their own mortgage stress analysis. And we know that APRA's 3% buffer has now been breached. And even worse, of course, they'd previously had a 2% buffer earlier on. But all that said, there's a lag between rate rises and delinquency of months, if not years. So I'm not expecting much movement yet. That will come later. And by the way, this also aligns with recent incoming data as well. For example, according to the latest quarterly statistics from APRA, the banks wrote fewer high loan-to-value ratio mortgages and decreased high debt-to-income lending over the September quarter. And the prudential regulator welcomed that. They welcomed the fact that the banks had been, quote, improving the risk characteristics of their new residential mortgage lending after finding that both high debt-to-income, DTI, and high loan-to-value, LVR, lending had reduced over the September quarter. And they suggested that the figures were largely promising given the strength of the bank's profitability and liquidity positions, as well as the reduction in riskier lending. According to the figures, the bank funded around $151 billion of loans in the 3 months to September. That's 10% or $17 billion down on the same quarter in the record-breaking year of 2021. This decrease is from the series highs that were seen during the pandemic, influenced by the recent succession of cash rate target increases. However, it's still markedly above pre-pandemic levels, being 58.4% above the September 2019 quarter. And as was the case last year, around 68% of new home loans were for owner-occupiers, with just under 30% for investors. Interest-only lending remained relatively stable, increasing by just 0.6% in the September quarter compared to the previous June quarter. And interest-only loans as a share of residential mortgages outstanding was at 11.1% in the September quarter. That was unchanged from the June quarter. However, with rising interest rates and growing cost of living pressures, the statistics show that lenders are tightening up on their risk characteristics when it comes to mortgages. For example, APRA deems mortgages with a DTI of 6 or more to be riskier and has been keeping a close eye on DTI after they reached a record high level of 24.4% in the December 2021 quarter. And indeed, the OECD has previously flagged Australia's high ratio of housing prices to household incomes, noting that in 2021, Australia had the fourth fastest house price growth out of the world's advanced economies over the past 20 years. This translated to Australian borrowers often having to take on more debt from lenders to purchase increasingly expensive homes. However, the high DTI exposures have been falling this year as rising interest rates and falling house prices reduce borrower appetite and higher serviceability buffers. Moreover, several lenders, including major banks, have been reducing their DTI thresholds this year. The new APRA stats showed that the moves have been having their desired effect. For the September 2020 quarter, 17.1% of total new mortgages had a DTI that was more or equal to 6 in volume terms, down substantially from 23.3% in the same quarter last year and the reduction from the 22% recorded just in the June quarter. New lending at high loan-to-valuation ratios over 90% also declined, falling from 7.5% in September 21 to 6.2% in September 2022. And so APRA noted the risk characteristics of ADI's new residential mortgage lending are improving. The fall in new residential mortgage lending with high DTI lending has been primarily driven by interest rate increases impacting maximum loan size and loan repayments. It's also been driven by APRA's increase to the serviceability assessment buffer in October 2021 and a tightening of banks' lending standards for this type of lending. The share of new residential mortgages funded with exceptions to serviceability policy declined to 3% in the September 22 quarter, down from 3.1% in the June quarter. And the share of new residential mortgages funded with serviceability verification waivers was 2.4% in the September 22 quarter. That's an increase from the June 22 quarter when it was 2.1%. So the regulators also welcomed that the non-performing loan ratio improved in the quarter, falling by 0.05 percentage points to 0.82%, with rising interest rates yet to have a material impact on asset quality. Now, of course, the problem is that in the previous couple of years, lending standards dropped significantly with average larger DTIs and more leveraged households. So APRA is sort of celebrating the shutting of the stable door, but after the horse has bolted. And it's worth noting that unlike Australia, where lenders are given pretty much open slather to set their risk parameters, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand is currently seeking feedback on the design of the regulatory framework for debt-to-income restrictions. While it's not yet made a decision to activate DTI restrictions and is not yet consulting on particular DTI settings at this stage, it is looking at bringing in a speed limit for DTI restrictions. For example, it could be set at a maximum of, say, 20% of new mortgage lending. The speed limit of a DTI over 7, the threshold or cap, the speed limit would be set based on the value of new loans rather than the number of loans, according to the New Zealand Central Bank. And elsewhere, according to the latest from S&P Global Ratings, mortgage arrears have remained resilient to multiple interest rate rises, but holiday spending could see the tide turn. As Australian borrowers shake the savings tin amid the hikes, the credit rating agency S&P Global Ratings third quarter 2022 market overview revealed prime mortgage arrears remained at post-financial crisis lows, they said. The report said the effect of cumulative rate rises was yet to surface in most transactions as household savings, repayment buffers, and redrawability are helping to cushion the effect of higher interest rates for now. Let me stress, though, that redrawability, which includes pulling out additional equity on refinance or drawing down on the existing line of credit, are reasons why overall loan growth remains strong. And they reported that prime home loan arrears between 31 and 60 days were at 0.58% in the September 22 quarter, a significant increase from last year's 0.22%. About 65% of cash rate increases have been passed through to outstanding variable rate mortgages, the S&P analyst said. But due to the lagging effect of interest rate increases, their effect has not yet fully surfaced. Given the speed of rate rises and the indications of more to come, home loan prepayment rates increased to 24.8% in the third quarter from 21.59%, S&P reported. Prepayment rates typically rise in September, but this quarter's result has been bolstered by strong lending competition, they said, adding that it was a foretaste of things to come. And they added that non-banks and credit unions could see more increases in their prepayment rates as borrowers take advantage of discounted rates on offer by larger banks with lower funding costs. And looking ahead, competitive dynamics among lenders will continue to influence prepayment rates, they said. According to the report, non-conforming residential mortgage-backed securities, which makes up a much smaller part of the broader sector, are beginning to show signs of stress. Non-conforming residential mortgage loan arrears have been rising month on month since the July reporting period, they said. We expect these arrears to rise before those in the prime RMBS sector, and we expect the rate of increase to be more pronounced. Indeed, given the riskier nature of non-conforming loans, they said that the sector's lower seasoning also means loans have not paid down to the same degree, and less equity has been built up than in the prime sector, which will affect some borrowers' ability to refinance. The arrears cycle typically peaks at the end of the Christmas and summer holiday period, they said. The level of arrears increases at that time, and that should provide us with an early indication of the degree of mortgage stress out there, they said. So far, it's been delayed by factors such as lags in borrower rate increases, a build-up of household savings, and a strong labour market. And it's interesting to note that household spending will probably increase ahead despite tight budgets. In fact, Australia recorded a $2.3 billion current account deficit in the September 2022 quarter, following 13 consecutive quarters of a current account surplus, according to the latest data from the ABS, showing some slowing has taken place. But the ABS data also revealed that Australia's gross domestic product rose 0.6% in the same quarter and by 5.9% through the year, mainly driven by increased household spending. The September quarter was the fourth consecutive quarter of economic growth, following a contraction in the September quarter of 21, which was impacted by the COVID-19 Delta outbreak, ABS said. The data showed household spending rose 1.1% for the quarter, weakening the household savings to income ratio for the fourth quarter as spending outpaced earnings. The household savings ratio continued to decline this quarter, they said, moving towards pre-COVID-19 pandemic levels. Higher levels of spending and increases in interest payable on dwellings detracted from household savings compared to the June quarter, they said. But the key surprise was this: the real estate sector, in the form of ownership transfer costs, which is the turnover in the property sector, plunged by 11.2%, and that dropped 0.2 percentage points from activity. Now, we'd expected a more modest fall because, well, it had been minus 1.1, minus 2.5 and minus 2.1, but this does provide further evidence that the Australian economy is in a significant transition. Earlier tailwinds are fading, and the impact of high inflation and higher interest rates are beginning to become apparent. A sharp economic slowdown is now in prospect for 2023. That's worth noting. Home building activity advanced by a modest 1% in the quarter, with a 3.4% increase in new home buildings outweighing a 2.2% decline in renovation work. And finally, CoreLogic's Eliza Owen tipped an increase in forced property sales in 2023 once hundreds of billions of dollars worth of fixed-rate mortgages roll over from their current cheap emergency low interest rates around 2% to 5 or 6%. While the majority of homeowners will still be able to service their loan, we could see a bit of additional supply hitting the market as people need to sell. This would presumably put further downward pressure on prices, Owen said. Her view was supported by AMP's chief economist Shane Oliver. I think there's more pain ahead of us, and until the RBA cuts interest rates and we've seen the worst of the fixed rate reset, I think there's more downside in prices all the way out to September quarter next year, Oliver said. I think we're going to see some pickup in distressed sales as a result of ongoing rate rises at a time when a large number of mortgage holders are coming off their record low fixed loans. The latest financial stability review from the RBA noted that around 35% of outstanding housing credit is on fixed rate terms, and around two-thirds of those loans are due to expire by the end of 2023. The RBA estimates that most fixed rate borrowers with loans expiring in 2023 will face discrete increases in their interest rates of somewhere between 3 and 4 percentage points when they roll over to variable rates, and that almost 6% of borrowers with fixed rate loans will face an increase in their minimum payments of at least 40% when they expire. And first home buyers dominated fixed rate mortgage lending over the pandemic and are most exposed, given they tend to enter the housing market with relatively high initial LVRs and have less time to accumulate excess payments. The big four banks' current official cash rate forecasts are now CBA at 3.35% by February 2023 and then dropping to 2.85% by December 2023, NAB at 3.6% by March 2023, remaining steady into 2024, Westpac at 3.85% by May 2023, then dropping to 2.85% by November 2024, and ANZ at 3.85% by May 2023, then dropping to 3.5% by November 2024. And financial markets are also tipping a peak official cash rate of 3.6% by August 2023. Therefore, based on these forecasts, the official cash rate will rise by somewhere between an additional 0.25% and 0.75% from its current level of 3.1%. And we can all sigh a great relief because the RBA does not meet in January and Australian mortgage holders will be spared a ninth consecutive monthly rate hike, at least until February. So the bottom line is this. Sure, mortgage delinquencies are currently quite low, but mortgage delinquencies are set to rise. And I think that we will start seeing that coming through in the second half of next year. So don't be surprised to see significant rises in delinquency rates ahead, but it will take a bit of time to work through the system. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.